You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. Senses not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
And good evening. This is not Dave Hodges. This is Katie Whalen. And Dave will be back in just a minute, but we've got Doug Hagman. So stay tuned for the next 2 hours. Dave is back.
Dave is back.
Yay.
Katie. Somehow. My internet is going down to 2 into 1, and very interesting. Todd, if that happens again, we'll go to the third communication that I sent you earlier by Skype message. Anyway, we're pleased to be with you. Thanks, Katie, for covering. Let's hope that they permit us to get through the next 2 hours. Let's hope it's just a technical snafu and nothing more than that, but we're pleased to be joined by the one and the only Doug Hagman, and he really needs no introduction, but he's the lead host, along with his son, Joe Hagman, and the Hagman & Hagman Report that airs right here on Global Star Radio Network, the home of the best shows out there. And he's on from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, and he is a not-so-frequent talk show host guest. So I'm really happy that he's with us. And, Doug, what I want to talk about here as we ease into this is the potential for economic collapse. Certainly everyone's watching Tuesday and the yuan being replaced by gold and the spinoff effects from economic collapse. But I also want to save a little time to talk about your book.
Okay. Well, first of all, thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it. And you know, we as talk show hosts have just a limited amount of time to listen to shows. I consider the Common Sense Show a must-listen-to show, so I'm just so thankful and honored that you have me on tonight. So, yeah, a lot of stuff to get into tonight. My goodness. Wow. Certainly a headline-rich environment.
Where would you like to start in this time of unprecedented chaos?
Well, I do think that the economic collapse is perhaps a good place to start. I think that right now we're looking at, to me, a landscape domestically and worldwide, basically, geopolitical landscape like we've never seen before or we haven't seen in modern times. I see and I sense that people are sensing things right now where at least the United States economy, the United States being the engine, I would say the global engine that runs the global economy, we're in trouble. A number of authors have written recently about the warning signs for recession, depression, collapse. I mean, it's just incredible. So, you know, I mean, and you pointed this out too on your many, many articles as well. My goodness. I'm not so sure that we can make it through the end of the year without some sort of economic reset that we've been talking so much about.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't see it either. I mean, just look at the basics that I've been, screaming at the top of my lungs about. You've got, as of this summer, with the financial budget coming into full force after the end of the fiscal year, you've got a $21 trillion deficit. You've got a $240 trillion unfunded mandated liabilities debt, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. So, you know, the elderly are getting it stuck to them. And then, of course, you've got the $1.5 quadrillion credit swap derivatives debt, which is 16 times larger than the GDP for the planet. Doug, we don't have to even go beyond that, but there's a whole lot more going on that's adding to this, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. And you know, I look at this, and I think a lot of people would be hard-pressed to... I think there's a disconnect among people right now, and of course we're just having a conversation, but I do believe that what we're seeing is not some sort of culmination of incompetence, but I do believe what we're seeing is the culmination or the end game of grand theft by a global elite, by the power elite. That's really, you know, you and I have spoken at length about this. This is a takedown of not just the American economy or not just the economy of the West, but the world economy. And it's amazing because I was out today and I had to make a number of stops. And I'm watching people purchase items, whether it's Starbucks coffee or, things at, you know, Walmart or Home Depot or some of the big chain stores. And people are just spending, and I would suspect that although most people can feel something in the air, they're certainly not acting as if there's something coming. And I think that when this does happen, when the economic collapse, orchestrated collapse takes place, I think there's going to be widespread panic. And I think that's by design through Tavistockian-style language and reassurances, normalcy bias, among other things. So, I mean, this to me is really an interesting dynamic that we're seeing right now. And you've got your sources. I've got my sources. They're independent of one another. But they're all saying, hey, look, we're facing economic collapse. We're facing an increase in racial and societal riots. I've got sources saying that there are blocks and blocks of hotel rooms in the greater Cleveland area for the made by Black Lives Matter and other anarchist style groups that are planning to disrupt the convention there. So the economic collapse combined with the social, the civil war kind of thing going on, all of this together certainly paints a very bleak picture for our immediate future. And the reason I mentioned about the shopping aspect of things is because, you know, I'm just not so sure many people really, although they feel something's not right, they're not preparing for it.
You know, it's funny you say that. We had our neighbor from across the street, wonderful, wonderful guy, and they're from the upper Northwest. He comes over, and he's proceeding to talk about where he's from in his home state in Oregon and how corrupt the government is in Oregon. Oh, they are. They can't trap rainwater. Agenda 21's king. Vehicle mileage tax is going into effect. So you look at all this, and he's talking about how the bank is trying to rip him off and steal his 12-plex. And he goes through in great detail what happened. And he doesn't connect it to anything bigger. And this is not an unintelligent man. Quite the contrary. He's highly intelligent. And I just said, well, there's a lot of people out there complaining about the banks that way. But I just couldn't find a way to ease him in to a higher level of understanding on this. And this is just typical. So he knows that the system is criminal. He knows these banks are criminal, Doug. But he doesn't see the big picture. And no. I think that's what happens with these people that are shopping at Walmart, Kmart, and the other slave marts. In fact, actually, let me tell you, if you're listening to the show and you're new to this topic, don't support those who would enslave us. Walmart, Kmart, all the big corporate stores, shop local, do the mom and pop stuff. Doug?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, the New York Post reported back on the 9th, it was about a week ago, that Obama and the Obama regime, they're setting us up now, right now to give us another mortgage meltdown. Paul Sperry wrote in the Post that Obama has pushed mortgage lenders to offer home loans to people with extremely shaky credit. And of course they're setting up conditions for another housing market collapse. You know, the last one wasn't bad enough. The credit scores of approved borrowers, for example, has been trending down even as their debt levels have grown. And we're seeing this lowering of credit standards, just as the feds did under Clinton in pursuit of this affordable housing goal. And that's just one aspect. And you had mentioned others. And you know, it's interesting, too, because now Some borrowers only need to put down 3% to get a Fannie Mae loan, for example, even if the down payment is a gift. These are restrictions that have really put us into the last housing meltdown, and it seems like the banks have not, or the people have not learned from this. So is it incompetence? I don't think so. And are people understanding what's taking place? No, I don't think so. So yeah, it's you got that right.
Yeah, and here I am, I'm at an intersection, because you just said a mouthful right there. Do I turn left? Do I turn right? Do I elevate? Do I dig underground? So many directions to go with this. Let me go here. I don't know if you caught in one of the articles I wrote this weekend that the FDIC issued a letter to J.P. Morgan, said, your actions could collapse the American economy. Not collapse the bank, not collapse the banks, it collapsed the American economy. Did you see that?
You know, I did. And what do you say to that? I mean, the only way that, I mean, this is planned economic collapse for the sake of enslavement of the American people. And I know that's really hard for people to understand, because if I was listening to this program, Dave, and if I was listening to myself talk 5 years ago or 10 years ago, I'd call myself just absolutely crazy, you know. But you wrote an article too. Current banker meetings are deciding how to confiscate your bank account in retirement. You know, I remember back in the 80s when I was dealing with financial fraud and such, as an investigator, people telling me that by the time I retire, Social Security was not going to be solvent or be around. And that's even more true today, because and I'm not that far from retirement, but I could see that I don't believe that we're going to have, I mean, the system as we know it will, in my view, will cease to exist here. I don't like putting timelines on it, but in the near term. And I think people have to really understand that it's not just the economic collapse. It's not merely the confiscation, but it's the enslavement that brings with it the, you know. That's what they're not just after our money. They're after everything we own and our souls on top of that. So that's my view.
They're after us. So you're right. You just said a mouthful right there, my friend. The FDIC, and let me lay this out for you, because three things. One, November 10th, 2014, and I covered this on your show, my last appearance last Thursday. The Federal Reserve with Janet Yellen and friends, along with Secretary of Treasury Jack Lew, met with their counterparts in England. They panned for a great widespread banking failure November 20th, the G20 meetings in Brisbane, Australia. They said that to all people like you and I, Doug, when we deposit our money, it's no longer money, it's unsecured deposits, and therefore we go to the end of the line and all the credit swap derivatives got to get reimbursed first. And then I did some research. The FDIC has 1.2% cash on hand to cover all deposits in banking in the United States. So I think these meetings, and I want to get your opinion, and if you disagree, great. If you expand on this, even better. But I think these meetings this week, and because they include Obama, say two things. One, they're operationalizing what they did in November of 2014. And number two, because they're including Obama, either they're going to do it quickly or there's not going to be an election, because the Federal Reserve does not need Barack Obama. They tell him what to do. The only thing they need him for is the military. So obviously I think they're planning for martial law. What do you think, Doug?
You know something, Dave, when you were on our program, and I would urge everyone to listen to our program with when Dave Hodges was on, because that was such a spectacular, a lot of information that you provided. I had to do a double take after you told me that, because historically, Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, that has not been a practice for the executive, for Obama, for any president to take part in such meetings like that. Isn't that correct?
No, and not only that, Biden was in on these meetings too, and it's forbidden in meetings like this that Obama and Biden be together because of Secret Service protocols.
Okay. Well, you know, here again, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, okay, since you since you had pointed that out to me, you've got to ask yourself why, and others why. Why the change in protocol? Why the change in, what necessitated him to be present there? And I think when you take out the obvious, when you look at the situation, yeah, I agree. I think it would have to be something that Obama would have to be, or the individual in that seat in the Oval Office would have to have some sort of control over. And that does lead me to believe either a martial law type scenario or an emergency police action, regardless. I mean, I guess the oversight of the military in the domestic sense is the most logical conclusion. And I have to agree with you on that. And that's a very disturbing situation.
Quite, isn't it? And I can't shake it. At first, I just thought everything that was going on with the Republicans was designed to destroy them so Hillary could have a distraction from her criminality and sociopathic behavior, and she'd waltz into the White House because the Republicans were in disarray. But I think it's going a lot deeper. If they thought Hillary was going to take office in January, I think they'd be dealing with her in secret and not overtly dealing with Obama. I mean, that's, Doug, I've looked at this 15 different ways and I can't draw any other conclusion. They need Obama and the military for martial law.
You know, and I think that people need to understand exactly what you're saying. And of all the people I know, the researchers, the investigative journalists, and this is not false flattery or to build you up. This is just a very true statement. Of all the people I know who have looked into the various potential possibilities for the election of 2016, I think you've looked at perhaps all of the possibilities, and none of them really has a good ending. I mean, they're all, I shouldn't say none of them, very few have a good ending. And I think what we're seeing right now with the theft of the delegates, and some people, I know some people will say, well, no, this is just how the system works. Well, perhaps it works that way, yes. But this overt taking of delegates and in your face kind of an approach, and the statements from the head of the RNC saying your vote doesn't matter, too bad for you, basically we're making the decisions. This is really causing an extremely serious situation. But by the way, I actually had gone out to eat last night, and while I was standing in line with my wife and another couple that we had went with, the other couple, the wife said to me, what do you think about all of this craziness with respect to the delegates? And I didn't answer her. I looked at her, and before I could answer, the woman that was ahead, the couple that was ahead of us in line, she turned around and she said, isn't this terrible? I've never seen anything like it. And before we could even get to our table, there were four people in addition to myself, my wife, and the other couple. So a total of eight people just absolutely, they were very upset, and they were expressing their upset over the perception of the theft, whether it's legal or not. So right now, there's this undercurrent of distaste and a very serious disturbance among the people. So I think this is, but I think this was planned, Dave, and I think that this is going to lead us into this civil war kind of environment that you and I both talked about 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
And the people, like you said, aren't even going to know what hits them. No. You know, there's not a day that goes by I don't publish something, and I put in ads for food and water and ammunition, supplements, gun supplements, gold, all the stuff that we're going to need. Water filtration from readymaderesources.com. I have that in there every day. I don't have to put them in there, folks. But my advertisers don't pay me to put them there. I put them there because I think people are going to need them. The advertising I do is on the website and if the commercial breaks here. But I have them out there because let's assume that Doug and I are just totally out to lunch. And Doug, I want to get your comment on this. Even if we're totally wrong in our estimation here, the worst thing that happens is you eat your mistake and you're still prepared for the next crisis.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's a mindset. It's a state of mind. And it irritates me where you've got this group of people or this mentality who believe that preparation is some sort of cardinal sin or mortal sin, that, my goodness, you know, we're selling fear porn or doom porn or whatever. Okay, fine. Then, you know, practice what you preach. Forget about having insurance on your house or your car. Forget about having health insurance for catastrophic events. I mean, this is all we're doing right now, whether it be with gold. I mean, we don't have any aside from Renaissance precious metals. You know, we don't have anybody that sponsors us for precious metals. But it doesn't take, to me, it does not take a rocket scientist or someone with extreme amount of business prowess or acumen to understand that the only store of wealth is in precious metals or perhaps real estate, but at least precious metals, which are mobile. So, you know, if you think that everything is rosy, grand, and, you know, everything's going to just be great over the next few years, then God bless you. Go ahead yeah, I would, however, suggest you see a surgeon. I'm not sure if it would be a proctologist or a neurologist for a rectal cranial inversion. But, you know, but there is a lot of rectal cranial inversion going on around there, which, you know, going on outside with people. But you know, back to the people who don't believe, for example, that preparation is necessary. Try going 3 or 4 days or a weekend with no power and, no food and see how you like it, because that could happen in any situation, be it a storm or a civil war. You know, it doesn't matter what the cause, but it certainly could happen, and it's likely to happen in your lifetime.
Yeah, it truly is. Now let's go back to our sources. There was a real serendipitous set of occurrences between yourself and myself and our sources. Over 3 years ago, in November, December, you talked about Rosebud and the coming events. I had an ex-FEMA official who I had known for over a decade and a half, knew his family well, and took early retirement, bugged out with like-minded people to the southeast, and had an extraordinary set of preparations going on. Well, just recently, my guy contacted me, and your guy contacted you. Are you at liberty to share what you were told?
Yeah, sure. I find this very amazing because, again, folks, we don't have the same sources. We have different sources, different connected to different government agencies. And I got a call. I shouldn't say I got a call. I was notified that my source wanted to talk to me, and through a series I spoke with my source and on multiple occasions around the same time you had been contacted by yours. And what was said to me was number one, prepare, because everything that he had said a couple of years ago, three years ago, about the potential for civil war, or not the potential, but the planning for civil war and the social chaos, the societal chaos, is about to take place. You know, and it wasn't a matter of accuracy with respect to the information. It was a matter of timing. And my question, and I didn't share this even on my own program, but my question was, well, you know, what was the big deal before? What happened before? Why now? Or why didn't it happen 3 years ago? And the answer was very simply because it was not time. And the other part of it too, the other part of the equation was exposure to plans compels the people who are making the plans to change their plans, because it's we can to some extent, by shining the spotlight of truth as you do and as we do, we can compel, or we can cause events to, or we can delay events through exposure. And that's number one. And number two, the power elite, if that's what you want to call them, the Luciferians, the evil ones, realize that they're running out of time. And they see, they do see Trump as a threat. Whether or not it's Trump himself, or as you so eloquently pointed out, whether it's the movement that Trump has created, either deliberately or unwittingly, it's the people who are following Trump who are saying, wait a minute, there's something wrong here. And it's that movement that poses a threat to the people behind the curtain and pulling the strings.
I was told Trump was a factor too, because he's brought millions of unexposed Americans to the debate. And they're fearful of the numbers. They're fearful to let this go much further. Trump was a wild card they thought they could contain. They could destroy him in the media. They could destroy him in the debates. They could destroy him all the way up to the convention. He wouldn't stand a chance. And I think now they see they got a problem. And not only, this is a scenario I see happening, one scenario, if there's not a false flag. When Trump has the nomination stolen, and I believe he will, the riots aren't going to take place just in Cleveland. And they're going to vent this anger against Wall Street, the corporations, and the bankers. My numbers are up. I'm sure your numbers are up. John Rappaport said his numbers are way up. People want to know what's going on, and we're giving them the key to the palace. And I'm not advocating for violence, but Doug, as sure as God is my witness, we're going to have a long, hot summer.
You know, I totally agree with you on that. And I look back at the summer of 1968, not that I'm old enough to remember, since I was born in 1985. I look back and I look at the events over that summer where you had the year of assassinations, and of course the riots and the disturbances at the DNC. Incidentally, in Chicago, and everything that went with that. And I'm looking at the landscape today, and I think that right now we are even at a more serious level. I think the riots today and the people today, because of social media, and especially because of social media, I think people are planning, or the plans for these events are happening much at a much more refined rate. I don't know if I made sense, but the Alinsky type of people, and there are Alinskyites, if you will, in both the right and the left, the Democrats and the Republicans, but it's the uniparty, the party of the globalists. I think they want to see this chaos, because once the chaos does ensue, once the riots happen, whether it's in Cleveland and then it generates, or it goes elsewhere from Cleveland, it goes throughout the country, I do believe that we will see this clampdown, the travel restrictions, the implementation of martial law that could spiral so far out of control that, yeah, you know what, I could see, for the first time in the history of our country, elections being suspended. And there was, and don't forget, Dave, you had pointed this out as well, that there was talk of suspending the elections prior to 2012 at the Senate level. And I don't recall whether it was North Carolina, South Carolina, but somebody was saying, well, we might have to, if something does happen, we might have to suspend the elections. But I remember that taking place. I remember that conversation. So while some might say, well, that's just crazy talk, and you guys need, put foil over your head and stay in your mama's basement, whatever. I think we have to have an adult conversation about this, because I really think that the potential is there for this to happen, and I think the plans are there, and I do believe that in order for the theft to take place, the confiscation of our wealth and the ultimately the confiscation of our guns too. I mean, I don't believe they can legislate gun control, for example. I don't believe that they can effectively take away our Second Amendment rights without some sort of emergency. And only then will the people on the fence comply. And I think that that's what they're attempting to do. Because right now, we are a well-armed society. And that does not bode well for the people in power, in my view anyway. So they've got to do something to create that situation to demand that we turn in our firearms, to take away our ability to conduct commerce, to take away our ability to travel at will. They've got to do this, and they've got to do it in relatively short order.
Well, one of the things that my ex-FEMA source said was, and his expertise was bioterrorism, chemical and biological, he said they've considered this, and he said there's no question in his mind that chemical and biological attacks are the great equalizer for the inability of people to get the guns. We'll just kill everyone in the region if we feel like killing. And they also now have race and other subtype-specific viruses they can release. I mean, we've talked about that with nanocytes. Some people connect them into chemtrails. Are you familiar with this at all?
A little bit. Not as familiar and well-versed as you are, Dave. I'll admit that.
Well, you know, wait and see. I just, you wonder, they got to be pretty well hidden. The one thing I wrote in that article that you mentioned, I said everyone's up in arms because the bankers are now creating these hideaways. Hey, folks, the time to have gotten excited was when the intelligence agencies and the alphabet soup men were running for the hills 3.5 to 4 years ago. That was the time to be concerned. And we pretty clearly laid it out. Now, how much time do we have, Doug? You and I don't, we just said we don't do the time frames, but let me share with you a couple of reactions from around our country with people who are well connected. Let's start with my friend Paul Martin up in northern Colorado, connected to ex-high military intelligence, Army Rangers, two of them, I believe. And they're all telling him 2 to 3 weeks. Now, things can change. The battlefield is fluid. I just drew a blank. Okay, prominent economist, and Katie, help me. Prominent economist said we had until the 28th of May, and all are going to come off, and Peter Schiff. Okay, there you go. Okay, all right, give me the dementia medication. And then we've got a number of people. Joseph Meyer from Straight Money Analysis has been on my show a number of times, and he dropped about every clue and every hint you could drop when we were talking about possible collapse. He went right up to the edge and stopped just short, and the circumstances were way different then. So, you know, it's kind of like this. When you're marching in a line and someone tells you with 100 men, and you're marching in line with 100 men, someone tells you, hey, you're out of step. And you say, no, I'm not. It's the other 99 people. Maybe it's time to keep pace or sit down and realize you're uninformed or drunk.
That's right.
I'm losing patience with the people, you know, that have eyes and will not see, as Steve Quayle likes to say.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm tired of it. You know, I've done all I can do to help them. Now I've got to focus on those I care about. I'll still put the warnings out, Doug. I know you will too. But my preparation is getting very personal.
Well, and it's interesting because I think part of this, and looking at this from an intellectual level, I believe many people out there don't want to believe that they've been gamed, especially in people in my age bracket, you know, in their people who are in their 50s, you know, anywhere between, we'll say, 50 to 65. We don't want to believe that we've been gamed. We don't want to believe that we've been forced to believe a lie, or not forced to, but have believed a lie. We don't want to believe that this can be, everything that we're seeing right now is orchestrated, because it really plays with your mind. And one of the things that you had said, I mean, Peter Schiff warned here recently, I think it was yesterday or the day before, that Trump is correct. America is broke. And when we look at it, I mean, how can anyone with any degree of intellectual honesty look at the numbers that are published, whether they be the unemployment numbers or the deficit numbers, and not understand that we're not only broke, we're dead broke, and that the trigger that's going to really send us into this higher gear is going to be the admission by the Fed that the economy is done. It's toast. There's the Fed, the government, the Treasury, if you will, they're out of cards. And it's kind of like a game of musical chairs, you know. There's not enough chairs and the music is about ready to stop. This is going to blow up, and when it does blow up, and I'm talking about our economy, it's going to take a lot of people with it. So, and all of the indicators are right there. So, you know, the other part of this, in my view, is, and I have to take a step back, or at least a view from cruising altitude. Are we looking at, is the economic collapse, the orchestrated collapse of our economy, is that the, is that part of the plan? Is that a cog in the larger mechanism, or is that the end game? I believe that, in my view anyway, I believe that the economic collapse is going to be implemented for confiscation of wealth, obviously, and for confiscation of assets, but I believe it's going to be global in nature. But I do believe at the end of the day, what we're seeing here in the larger picture is the subjugation of all people, all free people, to a system of global governance, which they've had planned all along. And the economic aspect is just one part of it. Then you've got the and you can control a lot of people with food. You can control a lot of people with oil. You can control a lot of people, you know. So all of this combined, we're looking. I just would wish and urge people to look at the larger picture here, because I think the larger picture is complete subjugation and subjugation to a global governance that all of these political elite have been talking about for so many years. And in
By any means possible, Doug.
That's right.
Doug, let's take a quick break here. I want to introduce people, if they're not already familiar with your book, what's it about, how they can get a copy. Excuse me. So let's just take a quick break here from our topics, and let's let you talk about your latest work that I'm proud to be a part of advertising.
Oh, well, thank you. You know, yes, I have written a book. It's titled Stained by Blood. And it was published last month. And what this is, Dave and folks, it's a true story. Although the names have been changed to protect the innocent, guilty, and the dead, this is a case that I worked. For those who don't know, just very quickly, in 1982, April 28th, my uncle was found murdered in my family home. He was a school teacher, and he lived with my father, who was widowed. My mom passed away a couple of years prior to that, and I was I got a call from my dad, summoned to his house. In fact, I arrived before the police and the paramedics got there, and I was a first responder. They didn't call us first responders back then. Anyway, I got to the house. I saw my uncle. He was essentially butchered. It was one of the most hideous scenes I've ever seen in my life in terms of a murder, the bloodiest. There was enough forensic evidence left at the scene where the lead detective said, look, we're going to be able to solve this in a day or two tops. 5 years later, I had changed from being changed my profession from a first responder to a private investigator. 5 years later, my family asked my partner and I to take a look at the case. And what this book is about, very simply, is about my investigation into my uncle's murder. And here's really the crux of it and how it relates to today. This was really my first introduction, my baptism by fire into the world that is being is investigated and has been revealed by people like Steve Quayle and Russ Dizdar and others. A world identified and discussed by these individuals 3 decades before I knew of either. And this takes people into, gives them a kind of a, it's like a primer into the world of well, the occult, the satanic ritual abuse, abduction, kind of like the Franklin scandal, but less, you know. I mean, it really kind of provides an introduction. So those people who don't believe that, that a world of evil exists beyond this thin veil of transparency might find this book to be of interest to them. They can read about it. It's not an in-your-face thing. I'm very very sensible to the sensitivities of Christians. I mean, it's not, even though this is about a murder case, this is not, I mean, this is G-rated, basically. Maybe PG because of some of the descriptions. But this provided me with an insight into the homosexual community as well. My uncle was a homosexual, unbeknownst to my entire family at that time. Bottom line, thank you for allowing me to talk about it. And Stained by Blood is available on Amazon. Actually, it made number 8 in its genre. It got to the 8th position in its genre. And it was not too long ago, I think 5,000 out of 8 million books. We're fighting right now with for position with the influx of O.J. Simpson books because of the, apparently some miniseries was just published or just made it on television. So, but thank you for giving me that opportunity. Stained by Blood is the name of the book, the website of the same name, and of course Amazon and Kindle. And if you want to email me or go to Stained by Blood, I'll certainly send you a signed copy as well for the listeners.
That's awesome. That is incredible. Let me just interject this as well too. One of the needs, if you have to bug out, and I think people like Doug and I and Steve Quayle, John B. Wells, and the usual cast of characters, Ted Brewer, we're going to have to bug out when the proverbial poop hits the fan. I mean, there's no question. Jade Helm was meant for us. UX16 is made for us in part. And so if you feel that you're going to need to bug out, and also, too, if we see a Red Dawn invasion, something Doug and I will probably get into in the last hour of this interview, I would tell you one of your biggest needs is going to be water. And Bob Griswold over at readymaderesources.com has about every type of water resource available. It's incredible what he has. He has every variety of water filters, and he has this little filtration system he set up, and he'll work with you on how to set it up too. So go to readymaderesources.com, scroll down a little bit, you'll click on the water tab, and you'll go right to there. And I really want to send people there because what he has there is incredible. And I'm continuing to work on my water needs too, and Bob is getting a call for me tomorrow, and I've got one more thing I feel I need to add. So that's Bob Griswold, readymaderesources.com. You can get a hold of me by phone at 1-800-627-3809. Well, the issue comes up here too, when you have an economic collapse. Well, let me start with this. You said something very interesting. You mentioned Obama, the unemployment rate, and so forth. The unemployment rate's what, 4-something%? Are you kidding me? 101 million working-aged Americans not working full-time, and you've got 97 of the same group working, 97 million of the same group working full-time. There's no way that number is 4-anything%. It's not 14-anything%. I've had John Williams from Shadow Stats. I've had Joseph Meyer from Straight Money Analysis. And the under and unemployment rate in this country, according to the experts who tell the truth, Doug, I'm sure you've heard this, 23-25%.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the actual statistics are staggering. The numbers that were provided with by the mainstream media, whether it be the debt, I mean, I suppose the debt might be reasonably, the U.S. total interest and debt might be reasonably accurate, but when you the government spending, the debt, most of that, of course, being federal. If you look at the national debt on the debt clock, you'll find the total debt, for example. But when you divide the debt by GDP, the ratio comes out to about 370%. And if you're wondering, well, so what does that mean? Well, if you go further and divide the total interest by GDP, you'll find that we're spending about 25% of our GDP just on interest alone. That doesn't even pay a dime towards paying off the debt. So what we're seeing is roughly $12,000 of interest for every man, woman, and child, or $49,000 roughly for a family of four right now that we're paying on our national debt just in interest alone. And that's if we stop borrowing right at this moment. So the bottom line is, when you look at things like unemployment and look at our debt, everything is underreported, deliberately underreported. And this is nothing more than a Ponzi scheme. We are underwater. Unfunded liabilities that you talk about, that's a huge problem. We've got hundreds of well over our conservative estimates, $120 trillion in unfunded liabilities to pay just for the social insurance programs. But when you get further down that road, you're going to see excesses far greater than that. Bottom line here, nothing is what it seems to be, and I would urge everyone not to rely on the figures that the news gives you, but do your own research, and you'll see that every one of us in the West, not just in America but in the West, in some way, shape, or form, are saddled by debt that we can never repay. Yet we will be subjugated and asked to repay. So. Yeah.
Uh-oh. You said the magic words.
Yes.
Have you come across what I talked about on your show and revealed?
Yeah, well, I'll tread carefully here. You go ahead.
Okay. I'll step out on that limb.
Okay.
I was sent two communications from unknown, unreliable sources, which said that anyone who these meetings are talking about, anyone who has government debt will be ordered to pay it off. You'll be given so much time. If you have a job, they'll work with you to some degree. There's interest involved. But when you run out of time, they can force you to go to a forced labor camp, basically a debtor's prison / FEMA camp. And let me just share where I believe this is likely to be true, and then I'll tell you how it was confirmed for me from reliable sources. In Executive Order 13603, you've got Section 601-801 that talk about consultants. And consultants are unpaid laborers that can be sent anywhere. It's a civilian conscription that'll be basically overseen by the Secretary of Labor, who will be put in charge of the military draft as well. There'll be two drafts. And they can send you anywhere, anytime. Now, I think, in my conspiratorial mind, and based on what I was told by two reliable sources who've given me good information in the past, I think this is a way, it's a Fabian socialist move, and it's a way to get rid of the bottom feeders, the bottom 20-25%, who Henry Kissinger called the useless eaters. And if you go to, and Doug, I know you know this, FM 39.4 calls for the use of foreign troops to man the FEMA camps. They'll be trained by American forces. And these UX-16 drills in Texas are being accompanied by foreign troops.
That's right.
So, Doug, that's why I've drawn the conclusion this is probably true. And under the NDAA, they can do what they want with you anyway.
And you know what, Dave? And people might look at that and hear that and say, "Oh, that's again the fear porn, the doom porn. That's overstated." All I can say is this: The Atlantic, back in February of this year, talked about Louisiana, and right now, and if you're black and listening to this, please listen carefully, because debtors' prisons exist in 21st century America right now. For example, Greater St. Louis, people are being arrested and put in jail for failure to pay parking tickets, for court fees, and other petty municipal citations. And the focus, the primary focus, are blacks living in America. And this hit some nerves in St. Louis. There was recently a class action lawsuit filed, I think it was in 2014, in St. Louis, that revolved around this very issue. There's been a many reports, and even current litigation confirms what many people have long known, that thousands of people throughout St. Louis, in particular, are routinely sent to jail because they can't pay local court fines and fees. And the majority, overwhelmingly, are poor, and they tend to be black. And, you know, people describe this in many ways, including, but perhaps most importantly, unconstitutional, because there is one with a, I mean, you're talking about debtor's prison, and that refers to any detention facility in which people are incarcerated for their failure to pay a debt. And right now, this is exactly what's taking place, and I do believe what we're seeing here is a beta test and a growing acceptance. Hey, you don't pay your fine, we're going to put you in jail. People are being people are being subjected to this, and I don't even know what to say. I mean, when you think about how ridiculous this is, how unconstitutional this is, there was a woman, I believe it was, a 37-year-old single mother in St. Louis, who spent 4 months in jail because of unpaid tickets and warrants and ever-increasing fines that she couldn't pay because she didn't have the income, okay? So when people say, oh, that can't happen, folks, it's happening. It's just under a different guise, if you will, or under a different pretext. So understand, this is coming, or it's already here in America, and they're targeting in particular the black people of America, but also the underclass, the lower class.
Well, talk show host Josh McCoy has been on the show quite often recently from WYBE-FM, the biggest station in Alabama, covering four states. He has told me repeatedly, and he's broached the subject, but he now has new information, that he said the homeless are disappearing, and we know they've passed laws in many municipalities outlawing the feeding of homeless, the giving the money to homeless, assisting them in any way. Some communities, you can't even give them shoes. I mean, it's gotten ridiculous where the Christian spirit of giving isn't even allowed to be invoked. And a lot of these people seem to be disappearing. And Josh tells me he has information that they are disappearing. And it's his notion that they're going to FEMA camps and they're sequestered, and they're being used to train troops who will work at these FEMA camps. It's a story he's continuing to work on, and to people in the audience, we will have Josh on again as he gains more information on this topic. Doug, are you aware of any of this at all?
Just basically, yes. But not as familiar as you are with the entirety of the information that you describe. And I think it's good that people know that these detention centers, these FEMA camps, these whatever you might want to call them, and I know Glenn Beck recently said, "Oh, we're going to expose FEMA camps," and of course then came out and said, "Oh, it was just a urban legend." I think there's a lot of pushback, because to reveal the existence of these facilities would be to, at that point, people wouldn't have it. I mean, we need the exposure to these facilities, and we need the accurate properly stated descriptions. I guess what I'm trying to say is, look, we need to have an adult discussion on this because it's real. They're here, and they could be disguised as any number of things. But I think you've done groundbreaking, in my view, at least groundbreaking investigation and exposure of these facilities.
Yeah, let me speak to that, Doug, because I don't want to take way too much credit, and I appreciate you saying this, but we don't operate in an intellectual environment. We operate in a data resource rich environment, and when I expose something, it's already been partially exposed in another arena, or I've had an insider source who knew about it before I did contact me, or a listener send me photographs. This comes to us in a variety of ways, and I simply try to piece things together, and when I see something forming a data plan, I go back into my past articles, and I look for, does the government tell us it's coming? And I've got a database of government documents, and I've got them alphabetized, or actually by term. And what I do is I go, okay, FEMA camps, or malls, is fight FEMA camps, and I pull it up, and I say, does this correspond to the information I'm giving? Is there government support for this information? So when I write a story like this, and when you cover a story like this, we don't cover this in isolation. There's really no more of the sudden groundbreaking story. It's more of a collective effort in all of us connecting the dots. I mean, wouldn't you agree with that?
But yeah, I do agree with that. And none of this is taking place in a vacuum. And I think that we have to understand that a lot of things that we do see, and this might sound rather cryptic to some, but I think it's... I don't think it's that cryptic or that overwhelming intellectually, but for example, there are many facilities out there that could be multi-use facilities. I mean, all we have to do is go back to Hurricane Katrina to see, for example, the how they put to use some of the facilities, including but not limited to the Superdome there. But so think of that kind of a situation where there's a disruption, a major disruption, and it doesn't matter what kind. In a heartbeat, these facilities could be transformed, or at least the infrastructure that has been created that includes what you've talked about the shopping malls and about the guard towers that exist. Yeah, I mean, look, some people may want to walk around in ignorant bliss, but others can see what's going on and see that, hey, look, there's something going on here. So
absolutely. Yeah. No question. When we come back in hour number two, we're going to take the blinders off and even expand this. People, if you think you're safe, think again. Economic collapse, if you think you can survive it and your troubles are over, think again. It's the first of what I'm going to identify tomorrow, seven steps that are coming. And the ending is not good. And Doug and I are going to talk about some of the endings that are possible. We're stepping aside now. We'll see you in hour number three.